The word of the Lord from Hosea chapter 5, verses 15 to chapter 6, verse 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I've slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today in our recording of the message, I'm joined with the Zelante family who gave me permission to record this as we are joined together, and we have their lovely parakeets joining us as well. This little light of mine, I will return again to my place. Strange way for Hosea to talk about how God says he's going to come back. It's probably not the way we would say it today. We'd more likely say something like, yeah, I'm going to go away for a while, but I'm definitely coming back. A child might have heard their father say this right before they left to go to prison. A sailor or a soldier may have said this as well, right before being underway or on deployment. When I was in third grade, I told my friends in Minnesota these exact words. I got to go to Boston, Massachusetts for a year, but I am coming back. My dad had an opportunity to do a year-long master's program at MIT, and that meant we were all going. It was a whole thing that turned out to be one of the greatest years of my life, but you couldn't tell me that at the time. Such is life. But I did learn that you can do anything for a year. After all, you know you're coming back. It's hard to say what the people of God knew, because the prophecy about their return from exile was before they went into exile for their sins against God. So it likely became clear to them in their despair when in captivity they could look at this prophecy again and gain hope they never knew that they had. Imagine, if you will, going somewhere against your will and not knowing when you'll come back, or even if you'll come back. Bruce Bryan, wrongfully accused of murder in Queens, New York, spent 30 years having little or no hope of getting out of prison. He did not know if he was ever coming back. Now free because the corruption of the district attorney, which landed him in jail, exonerated Bruce from his false imprisonment. Of that experience, Bruce said, "Prison is a cold environment, and it is up to you to create your heat. It's a dark environment, and somehow you got to find that light, you know, the light within yourself, in order to travel, in order to do something with your life more meaningful." He continues, "You can become bitter or you can become better. I chose the latter because one of the things I did early in my incarceration was make a conscious decision not to serve time, but to have time serve me." He went on to detail how he used his cell as an office. He read things that he would never have read as a free man. He learned from the experiences of other people through autobiographies and philosophy to possibly be able to go home and never find himself in a place where this could ever happen to him again. For 30 years, not knowing if his innocence would be proven and whether he would be set free. Well, today he is free and a part of a bigger movement to help all those similarly vexed to find the path to freedom for them as well. You know, that's the best example I can find today to relate to the pain the people of God were feeling in their captivity. The only difference being God's people, unlike Bruce, were totally guilty. But they knew from Hosea that even though God wounded them grievously for their insolence and rejection of the one true God, this same God would heal them, restore them, and give them freedom from all their all-too-deserved incarceration. When I worked in the prisons in Memphis, Tennessee, as a local lowly vicar, there was virtually no innocence lost. These were hardened, repeat criminals in the late 90s. I would pray with prisoners that they would find real freedom in Christ, even though they would most likely never see earthly freedom again. They knew the consequences of their sins because they were too grievous for society to tolerate, and their freedom was no longer a right they would enjoy. The violence, drugs, and willful stealing or destruction of property was all the evidence the police needed to use the full force of the authority of the government to wield the sword of justice upon the wrongdoer. The consequence was swift, just, and absolute. There was no denying what sin could do to destroy their lives, but there was also no denying the path to restoration in eternity. Like Bruce, they just had to find their light in that cold, dark world. But the juvenile detention had restoration of the youth offender in mind. So pastors, businessmen, social workers, and educators had full access to give them a new chance of life. Not if, but when they would be free, and help them to be virtuous rather than return to the vice that landed them there in the first place. For the people of God in captivity, their teachers, their social workers, their pastors were the prophets like Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, giving them the counsel from the word of God to prepare them for the day when they would be free indeed. All they had to do was find their light. Hosea told them clearly what to look for, saying, "After 2 days, he will revive us, and on that third day, he will raise us up." I don't think any of you sitting here listening to these words can possibly miss the magnitude of what God is revealing through his prophet Hosea. For on the third day, our Savior Jesus rose from the dead after being crucified for our sins, so we could be free from our dark prison of Sheol that Jesus descended into to tell the devil his chains could no longer bind us because he paid the debt our sins caused us, and now we are free. This may not have meant much to the people of Hosea's day, but to their ancestors, generations later, it would be read again in the retelling of their victors returning to Jerusalem, showing they were freed from the shackles of Assyria and later Babylon. So they would be freed not only from the Greeks and Roman overlords, but more importantly from the devil by the king who died and revived on the third day. The light that shined in the darkness was revealed and gave more than they ever dreamed of. Not freedom from the Romans, but true freedom from sin, death, and even the devil himself. But as I said before, they still needed to find their light in a cruel, dark world. For the apostles were immediately set upon by the enemies to the gospel of our risen Lord Jesus. They were hunted, persecuted, and martyred because they would not recant what they saw, touched, and that they even ate with the risen light of the world. The words of Hosea would encourage them yet again in their difficult times, recognizing that though the night be dark, press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. And press on they did, knowing everything they are and everything they should be was driven by God's word alone. We should never forget the power of God's word. As Hosea says in verse 5, therefore, I've hewn them by the prophets. I've slain them by the words of my mouth. This powerful prophecy from God, echoed by Isaiah 55:11, which says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Hosea closes the circle of the powerful purpose of the word, and judgment goes forth as the light. This is the word of God. Jesus in the flesh, in person, and in the work of his crucifixion. This word does not reveal the light. This word is the light. And this word judges in a way that no one ever saw coming. Don't judge me, you judgy Judy. I can't remember who said it or where I was the first time I heard it, but it was obviously gleaned from the enormously entertaining Judge Judy television show. But many of you may not know, she is not the original Judge TV show. That honor belongs to the Honorable Judge Wapner of the People's Court. Judge Jerry Scheinlin came after, who was the husband of Judy Scheinlin, who we get that catchy phrase from to this day. These were and still are very popular shows that give a lot of attention to the personality of the judges. Till this point, most media and entertainment simply had the judge as the stoic figure in the background, while the charismatic attorneys had all the dramatic lines and speeches that we hung on the edge of our seat to hear how they presented the evidence to convict or exonerate the defendant. I don't know this for sure, but the snappy control of the judge in the newer TV shows may have given rise to this negative notion of judgment. Instead of simply discerning what was right and what was wrong, it became more of a show of how the judge showed their power, controlled the courtroom, and maybe even on occasion jumped to conclusions in the interest of the time limits of the television program. And I wonder if that contributed to a more negative view of judging and was somehow aligned with judgmental Christians as well. Do we overdo it? Do we use the power and purity of God's word to show power over others? Do we think deep down in our souls we're somehow worthy of the forgiveness won on the cross? If we do, we are most to be pitied, because we misunderstand grace and we turn it into yet another law we think we fulfill. The only judging we do is from the judgment that comes from God. And this is when God declares us judged, because in us he found light, not because we have the light, but because Christ is the light, having come to us and making his eternal dwelling with us. That is what Hosea means when he speaks God's word, saying, my judgment goes forth as light. And Tertullian, the ancient church father, says it best. Justice is the very fullness of the deity himself, manifesting God as both a perfect father and a perfect master, a father in his mercy and a master in discipline. You know where that light shines? It shines where God makes his dwelling. And you know where he makes his dwelling? With everyone who believes he died and rose for them. This week in VBS, the kids sang one of my favorite Christian songs, This Little Light of Mine. And while there's nothing little about this light in our lives, I still think this song says it better than any other hymn could. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now may that peace that surpasses all understanding Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.